Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for attending this Scorpio New Moon meeting, when we're very grateful to be able to interview the founding members of the Methuselah Project. And just to read briefly from their mission statement, the Methuselah Project seeks to address the unique plight of the Jewish people today from the subjective as well as the objective viewpoint. It seeks to cultivate and foster compassion and aid in the integration of the Jewish people into the one humanity. And today, as I said, we have three members, founding members, Maria Cristina Amaral from Brazil, Uta Gabay from Israel and Germany, and Philip Lindsay from the planet, but now from Australia. So let's begin with a moment of silence to link up with all individuals and groups throughout the world who are linking together at this new moon solar eclipse opportunity. May the power of the one life pour through the group of all true servers. May the love of the one soul characterize the lives of all who seek to aid the great ones. May we fulfill our part in the one work through self-forgetfulness, harmlessness, and right. Thank you. And Sasha, would you like to introduce the group?
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Kathy. We'll say a few words about 2012 initiative. As probably most of you know about the coming opportunity of service, the festival week of world service, which will happen December 21st through 28th. And as it's said by the Tibetan master, through the books of Alice Bailey, that this opportunity comes every 7 years, and every time it happens, it should be used by the world servers as an opportunity to link with the coming energies from the far constellation, which is said to be the same is the same to our zodiac, what is sign of Capricorn to our planet. So therefore, it's a very important moment where all servers can meditate on the purpose and precipitate the vision of the plan for the next 7 year cycle. And so therefore, the 2012 initiative been running since April this year, and every month we had meetings. Every full moon, and starting from the last month, we have new moon meetings when we invite groups and individuals from around the world to talk about their service and their vision of their new opportunities and service. You can see the recordings and get access to the recordings of the previous meetings at our Facebook page at Facebook 2012 Initiative. At the end of the meeting, I will show the screen with all our contact information. Thank you.
Okay. Just the way that we'll be conducting this meeting, we'll begin with a few questions from that I'm going to ask the panelists, and followed by opening up the floor to you, the audience, to ask your questions either audibly or through the chat mechanism. And then we'll close with a meditation. Okay.
Kathy, can I ask?
Yeah.
Can we see the list of attendees that we know who we are?
Click on the attendee list, you might be able to see that. I'm not sure how your screen works.
No.
Yes, there should, on this control panel, there should be attendee list.
Yeah. It doesn't show anything though, it just shows the panelists and the organizers.
Yeah, it just says it's 25 people, but it doesn't say, give the possibility to see the names.
Okay, I fixed that, was a bug. I fixed it, it's now supposed to view.
I can see it, yeah.
Thank you, Uta.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so we'd like to begin with asking you briefly to tell us the purpose of the Methuselah Project.
Are you talking to me?
I'm just asking this question. Maybe Maria Christina could tell us that.
I think I'll just give you a bit of an introduction first.
Okay.
If you like, Kathy, this
sure.
might pave the way. I was inspired to initiate the project back in 2007. So we've just had our fifth birthday in October. We are a Libra.
Mm-hmm.
Libra being the sign of relationships and so forth. And it was based upon my interest for many years in reading the books of D.K. through Alice Bailey and all the quotes that he had about the Jewish people, but within the wider context of esoteric history, which, as you know, I'm quite interested in, and the evolution of consciousness of humanity. So it was within that context that I first approached the subject, because it was such a huge thing. And the Master D.K., of course, commented on many nations and races in his book, The Destiny of the Nations, amongst whom were the Jews as a particular group. But he probably commented on them more than most because of the urgent situation that was unfolding in the world at the time, namely World War I and II. So the project was initiated in order to rework with this benchmark material that DK had provided as a group, as a forum, as a website, to discuss the material and to basically take it further.
Okay. How did you choose the name, the Methuselah Project?
Well, this was based on my esoteric history work that I've been doing, because we find that the Jewish patriarchs in the Old Testament are actually the Hindu Manus, the beings who hold the archetype and energy for a particular sub-race. And from my researches, I discovered that Methuselah was the Manu who was around in the middle of the Atlantean root race, just before the Great War and Flood, and just before his fellow Manus, Lamech and Noah, emerged. So because that period in history is now being duplicated as we move from the fifth root race to the sixth root race, I thought it appropriate to use this name, who is basically this great being, this great entity we call a Manu.
Okay. All right. Maria Christina, we know that the Ages Wisdom teachings posit the idea that there exist planetary centers on different levels of reality. And I also understand that within this energetic system, the Jewish people hold a particular place. Could you elaborate on this idea for us?
We see that lately in the teachings, we are focusing in the building connections between the crown center, which is Shambhala, and the soul center, which is humanity, and the heart center hierarchy. So the Great Invocation is mainly a formula of integration. And so we find in the teachings that the Jewish people are a very important center in the planetary system, and that they are the solar plexus center. And this fact made us to see these people in a completely different view, because the solar plexus center is also called the clearing house, which is the place that focuses all energy, all sensorial nature of the planetary system on the solar plexus, with the intention to purify it and to raise it. Mm-hmm. So, and we also work with the speculation that the Jewish people, which are they are the advanced humanity, they are the soul center of humanity. It's a little bit complicated because they occupy one position related to the planetary system and another position related to humanity. Mm-hmm. And we also find in the teachings that the most immediate need of the planetary logos now is to raise the energy from his solar plexus to his heart. So we have been focusing as a group on this, trying to help in this task, to help the planetary logos in this process of raising the energy from his solar plexus to his heart.
Okay.
Did I answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
It's not an easy subject to talk if people are not familiar with chakras and centers and so on.
Yeah. Yeah. When you speak of humanity, you speak of humanity as a group, an entity, really, right? Humanity as an entity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Philip, would you give us an insight into some of the hidden history underlying the Jewish race in relationship to our planetary evolution?
Sure. The intelligence that Christina was just talking about has been developed extraordinarily high in the Jewish race. And this is because, historically speaking, if we want to go right back, talking about a previous solar system, and I don't want to get too esoteric here, but suffice to say that in that solar system, the principle of intelligence was developed. And the Jewish people, in many ways, are the vanguard of that first solar system that was developing intelligence. But in this solar system, we are told in the teachings that we are developing the second principle of love wisdom. This is very interesting because this Jewish people are ruled at the soul level by Virgo, which we're told by the Tibetan is the most powerful zodiacal sign in this cycle, or for the expression of the second ray of love wisdom. And so the Jewish people have a dual role in some respects of bringing through this second ray of love wisdom energy, but at the same time they are a first ray soul, a first ray of will or power. And so I'm not sure if that's actually answered your question, Kathy. I don't want to ramble on too long here.
Mm-hmm.
Historically speaking, we're looking at the last 5,000 years generally for what we know about the Jewish race. But in my Hidden History of Humanity books, I look at Abraham, the Manu, for the third sub-race, the Semitic sub-race of the fifth root race, as being around 600 or 700,000 years ago. And we find that these monads from the first solar system, or the Jewish people, if you like, have been with humanity since early Lemurian times and incarnating in various stages of human unfoldment in the root races in Atlantis, and more recently, as we know it, in our recent Jewish history.
Okay.
And, of course, many of us have been incarnate in those races, in that race, at some time or another, or are now, as are half the members of the Methuselah Project.
Yeah. So it's definitely a planetary issue, not just a Jewish issue. So.
It is, because, as the Tibetan tells us, the Jew represents humanity in microcosm, mm-hmm. of all the worst and best traits of humanity. And so it's about really recognizing what it is to be Jewish in a technically non-Jewish sense.
Yeah. You mentioned that the Jewish people are governed by Virgo at the level of the soul. Could you tell us a little bit more about their astrological coloring and their ray coloring?
Sure. The first ray is the soul ray, and the third ray is the personality ray. Virgo is the soul, and Capricorn is the personality. And hence, this World Service Week in December that is held in Capricorn is extremely important in terms of subjectively having an effect on this whole theme of the Jewish question. The Virgo polarity of Pisces is extremely important in the Jewish makeup, because it represents the whole age that we've just been through and the development of compassion and understanding. Pisces, like Virgo, has a lot of the second ray of love, wisdom, energy coming through it. And so it really helps to generate this factor of forgiveness, understanding, compassion, loving understanding, and so forth. Yet the first ray, of course, the first ray soul of the Jewish people is aligned to the first center of the planet, Shambhala, the first aspect, the first ray. So there are some intriguing and very mysterious connections that go very deep and very ancient.
Okay, thank you.
And just to add to that, the fourth ray, apparently through conflict, which is the major ray that conditions humanity, is one of the major rays in the Jewish makeup, and is the influence that is responsible for Jewish people being so creative in the media and arts, movies and so forth.
Yeah.
So now you ask something.
Yes.
The first ray is also linked to the purpose of the planetary laws, which is to make this planet a sacred planet. And this process of making it sacred is made through light and love. So it's the mind who brings the light. And the sacrifice is related to the first aspect. And all this is focused on these people. It's a huge, huge task. Not easy.
No. Okay. Uta, I'd like to bring you into this discussion. You have a unique perspective, having been born German in Germany and moved to Israel and converted to Judaism. And you've dedicated your life work to bridging between the Israeli and the Palestinian cleavages. Could you please share with us a little of your experience and your hope for the future of the Jewish people and Israel?
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's now, I think, more than 25 years that I live in Israel. I'm the founder and director of Heichal, a center for universal spirituality in Jerusalem. We are actually a school for meditation and psychosynthesis, working for enhancing right relations in our area. What I actually did all these years was downstepping the teachings, the Ellis Bailey teachings, the the universal wisdom teachings into a neutral psychological language that can make sense here to the Jewish people and in the Middle East. And we are working mostly with the Jewish population, but also do courses for Jewish and Palestinian people, working with this concept of right relation directly on the seam line. For our purposes here, what works together with what we are doing in the Methuselah project is our courses and study groups concerning what Asa Joly would call the psychosynthesis of the Jewish people, or what we are calling the bridge of compassion, meaning a deep exploration of what is Jewishness, going beyond the outer appearance, you know, beyond Israeli politics and present-day Judaism, to a more archetypal understanding of Jewishness. And what Philip said about this huge picture of what is actually the Jewish people, we are now here in Israel, we are seeing it, we are living it every day. And how does this huge history and huge responsibility, huge mission, work out into being a Jew, you know, incarnated in the Jewish race, an Israeli citizen, with all its potential and all its distortions? So I think one of the most, the deepest work that I'm involved in is creating a space for these Jewish people to be able to look at their Jewishness, to dare to look at these deep questions and deep feelings, very complex feelings, in a safe space, and so that that they can understand themselves better and see where they are conditioned by this racial mind, and learn how to look beyond it and to build a bridge between their being Jewish and their being human, you know. That seems like a normal thing, but when you are in a Jewish body and when you are in Israel, with all the tension around, it's not an easy question at all. So what we are doing here is using psychosynthesis, the psychosynthesis system, on the national level, we can say, as we are all, as a individual person, we develop ourselves by understanding ourselves and building a bridge between the personality and the soul. The same thing has to be done actually on the national level. So we are busy with getting a grasp of what is the Jewish personality, Jewish emotional body, Jewish mental body, and what is the Jewish soul, this Virgo potential and this first ray soul. How can we access it? How does it express? How can we foster it? How can we bring through the higher aspects of Virgo beyond the critical mind that is, of course, very well expressed? This more feminine, the more mother aspect of Virgo, which is very much needed, and what is actually we could say this is the cure or some of the remedy of what needs to be done here with the Jewish people, with their first ray soul and third ray personality. What is missing here is the second aspect, and this is what is one main aspect of our work, what we are doing here in Jerusalem.
Okay. Well, obviously,
I was just going to say, with the Jewish issue, theme, problem, whatever you want to call it, it is seemingly insoluble in some respects. And one of the reasons why we are working with a meditation, a very specific meditation in the Methuselah Project, is because of the recognition that this crystallization of the situation, which is extremely ancient, can only be really dissolved on the mental plane through meditation. It can, that is one of the most objective ways, of course, and that will allow eventually resolution to take place on the physical plane. But the factor is that the problem is so entrenched and in so emotive and so laden with conflict that it behooves us as esoteric students to really go to the higher possibilities of transforming these thought forms upon the mental plane through group meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is how it works together. I think we have to work on all the levels that we can. For me, it's a wonderful complementation, our work here in the field, you know, in Israel, and the Methuselah Project. And as Philip said now, the Methuselah Project is really endeavoring to go beyond all the outer appearance and the outer happenings of the time and work directly with the thought forms that underlie this outer appearance. I think we are quite a unique group experience as the Methuselah Project, Jews and non-Jews working together, trying to implement or to experiment with what the Tibetan is teaching us, these new techniques of group work. In order to build this lighted thought form, a new thought form that can transform, that can heal, that can absorb the old thought form that is all built up around separativeness. Mm-hmm. So what we are very much focusing on in the Methuselah Project is, on the one hand, seeing clearly, piercing this glamour, going beyond this glamour as much as we can, and on the other hand, learning how to do this in a harmless way. You know, when we are looking for truth, it's very easy to become very righteous, you know, and see the glamour in others, and point it out, and by that actually not really being helpful. We are dealing a lot with this balance, very subtle balance, between pointing out the truth and embracing with the heart. So the mind and the heart both have to work at their best in order to really make a change here.
It's such a good point that Uta made, Kathy, because there are many people who do point out the wrongdoings and the mistakes and all the rest of it. And this, I'm talking about esoteric students who use the words of the master, DK, in a way that just simply drives the problem deeper into matter. And we've all done this, I think. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to do. And what we've recognized as a group is that we have to move away from that. We have to work, as Uta was saying, with these causes and not the effects, and to transform mm-hmm. at the causal level so that the effects will eventually filter down. And just one other thing I'd like to say too, it's quite significant that this webinar is being hosted from New York, because New York is a huge Jewish population, and it's very mm-hmm. Jewish in its nature. It's a third-rate personality, which is the same as the personality of the Jewish people. And, of course, a third of the world Jewish population live in the United States, I believe. About a third mm-hmm. in Israel, and about another third scattered throughout the whole world. So we have this unique... America, USA, plays a unique role in the resolution of this problem.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to add something? Can I?
Yes, sure. Please.
It's written the teachings that when this problem, it's a problem of humanity, it's a problem of the planetary laws, it's a problem of the planetary system. When this problem is solved, all the problems of humanity is going to be solved by gravity. So we can say that it's the most important thing to be sought with light, as Philip said, for this old thought form to be dissolved. And then we have the most important thing to do, which is to help to solve this, and to raise the energy as the most immediate need of the planetary laws. So it's urgent demand for the solution. And as Uta mentioned, we the group work building a new thought form, a thought form of solution, a thought form made of light, of compassion, of understanding, of redemption, of harmlessness, as Uta and Philippe has mentioned. I'm just stressing this point.
And to just briefly say too that DK made the amazing statement in one of his books that this theme, the Jewish people, is the most important problem that confronts the hierarchy at this time. It's an amazing statement.
Mm-hmm. Yes. it gives us pause to consider these points. In relationship to the soul of the Jewish people, being governed by Virgo, I wondered if you could share any thoughts about one of the keynotes for Virgo being Christ in you, the hope of glory, and the relationship and the healing, perhaps, that's needed between this great world teacher, the Christ, the Master Jesus, and the Jewish people. Could you share any thoughts about that working out through the Jewish people?
He wants to take that one.
You go, Philip.
Well, this is one of the thorniest, most contentious recent periods in history, of course, where allegedly he was not recognized when the Christ came as the Messiah. And this is... this is one of the reasons why we are told that the one who now holds the office of the Christ will actually come back for an unprecedented second appearance in this cycle, in this imminent cycle that we are in now as we approach 2025 and the externalization of the hierarchy, which will be culminated by the reappearance of the Christ. So again, we can look at this thing, this as a microcosm, the Jewish people as a microcosm of humanity. And of humanity and their culture of Jewishness, if you want to call it that, that will recognize him when he returns again. We'll recognize that force, that saving grace, if you like, of humanity, that second aspect. One of the problems here is the fact that the Jewish people, as Uta said before, are on the odd or the wheel line of ray energy, first ray soul, third ray personality. The point of least resistance is to express the will through the mind, as opposed to the love wisdom through the heart and through the feeling nature. And you have the distortions of any entity that has a particular soul ray will distort that energy through its relatively or unintegrated personality. So we're dealing with this very powerful force aspect, which you can see, for instance, expressing through the right-wing Likud government in Israel. I think it's a good example of the misuse of that first ray energy that is unalloyed with the love wisdom or the Christ principle. But of course, it's not the Jewish people as a whole. It's not the Israeli people as a whole either. And so this is why we have to be very careful in actually discerning and discriminating between, for instance, right-wing Zionism and the Jewish people as a whole who don't really embrace that ideology, that political ideology. So perhaps Christina and Uta would like to comment further on this.
Yeah, I would like to say something. In the Orthodox Jewish community, we can discern this direct link to Shambhala, this first ray attitude in first ray, third ray attitude also in Judaism. That is all about, going directly to the king, as they say, not dealing with the court of, all the stuff that is between me and the king is like not important. So this whole relational concept of what we have as hierarchy, they just bypass it. They just go directly to the center where the will of God is known. And I think they must learn, the Jewish people must learn that this relational aspect is not less important than the direct link to Shambhala, and open themselves to this. And this can, I guess, only happen when the heart is opening, when it is not, as Philip said, this direct line between the will and the mind, between the soul, the first ray soul that expresses directly to the critical mind and to the physical, these customs, this preoccupation with doing it right on the physical level, and when the soul is perceived by the heart, then this relational aspect will come in, and then will the Jews be able to recognize the Christ when he comes the next time. And so this is what we need to nurture. And this is, I think, this is one thing that we, as let's say the new group of World Service, we can hold. We can try to link and understand what is the Virgo potential of love, how to go beyond the critical mind by ourselves, and hold for the Jewish people this Virgo. The second ray aspect, the mother aspect, the feminine aspect of this soul, of this soul quality.
I would like to say something.
Yes.
Did you finish?
Yeah.
Because I mentioned about the great invocation as a formula of integration, the linking center in between these higher centers is the new group. And at the same time, the new group is the heart center of the humanity. So the new group has the privileged position to bring this heart quality energy to infuse the mind of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
In our studies and reflection as a group, we have been working together now for 5 years. We try to go, as Philip said, to the cause, to the root of the problems, which is quite esoteric. And we came to the conclusion as a group that all mentally polarized people, they are Jewish in consciousness, because it is the mind, and the mind is matter. The mind is the stone. And as Uta mentioned, they like to connect directly with the Shambhala or the will of the Father, but actually, without the heart, they cannot go up. So they go to the willful aspect of the mind. But this is a macrocosm problem. This is a problem of the advanced humanity. We try to disengage this idea that a little group, a little religious group, do this or do that. But it's the human mind and the humanity as the throat center or the mind of the planetary laws. So when we raise the vision, as higher we go, as better we can see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd just like to make a comment there that Christina and Uta have just said, and that is the glamours and distortions of soul energy. Any entity, as I said before, distorts soul energy, particularly if the personality is not integrated or there are some major disintegrations that have happened. But this thing of going straight to the king, as Uta said, going to the source of power is one of the glamours of the first ray. The first ray is the ray of will or power. And the power part of the will-power equation is the first factor, if you like, that humanity contacts and learns how to deal with responsibly. The will aspect, which is more Vulcan as opposed to Pluto, and the power part, is far different. You know, it's the will of God. And it's actually aligning with the purpose of deity, of the planetary logos, in its highest respect. Then when you look at the zodiacal force that conditions the soul of the Jewish people, we find an incredible distortion in all the endless rituals and around food and diet and hygiene and kosher and all the rest of it. That is actually, of course, it's part of Virgo, because Virgo is all about diet and health and integration. But it's incredibly crystallized, just like other ancient races, for instance, the Hindu caste system, which is extremely ancient and extremely distorted and crystallized as well. So you have these distortions, particularly with old races. Yet, as Christina said, it's the microcosm of humanity and that type of mental culture that a significant proportion of humanity hold, a critical mass of humanity actually hold this, and they are the ones to be regarded as Jewish. Yet the Jewish race itself, in its particular, holds a microcosm of that critical mass as well. And just the last thing I want to mention is the paradox that at the moment we live in an unprecedented time in history, in that the hierarchy have decided that humanity is ready for the impact of Shambhala forces directly upon humanity, whereas previously they had acted as a filter or a shield from those extremely powerful forces. So now, this is unprecedented in our planetary history. Humanity are receiving Shambhala forces directly, and this is contributing to the great conflict and confusion and chaos that we find ourselves in at this particular time in history. And yet, it's something we have to get used to, and the soul of the Jewish race is a clue that points the way in some respects.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm going to now shift a little, and we'll go into some questions and comments from our audience. And I see that there is one here from Rose. Rose, I'm going to ask you to voice your question, if that's okay. I'm going to unmute your mic. if I can do that. I'm having trouble. Okay. I don't know why I'm having trouble. Oh, there I go. Rose, could you voice your questions? I don't know. Hi, Rose. Rose, are you able to get to the mic or not? Maybe not. Okay.
Yeah, I could read. Just read your question.
Yeah, okay. So let me just mute that. I'm not sure I can. Let's see. It says, I think we can relate this Jewish problem also on an individual level, as it is a representation of the battle of personality, ego, with the soul, but shown for us on a large scale as this global and not just Jewish, but human problem. So how can we transmute the ego in ourselves, and can we not use that same method on this larger level? Yeah, good question. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one response I would make, just briefly, to that is the cultivation of the quality of Pisces. The whole Piscean age has especially seen humanity miss the point. We've been engaged in religious wars and so forth down through the Piscean age, and in many ways humanity have missed the message that the Christ, who was the avatar of the Piscean age, brought, and that was around forgiveness, understanding, loving compassion, and so forth. And so it's still not too late for us to learn this as we come to the close of the Piscean Age, because it is the solution in many ways to all these problems. The bridge, as Uta said before, between the first and third rays, the first ray soul and third ray personality. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I in order to, of course, we have to do the best in us to do this bridge, to build this bridge in ourselves. As I said before, in this, I don't know if you are familiar with psychosynthesis as a spiritual psychotherapy that is exactly doing this, bringing the personality and the soul into relation, and into integration, and into a synthesis. We do this on the personal level, and exactly in the same way we do it on the planetary level. And here I wanted to stress what Maria Cristina said about the new group of world service. We, as part of the new group of world service, we have here a huge role to play in the integration of the planetary logos. And I want to bring this into context with what Philip said about the Shambhala impact. The Jewish race, because of because they are the seed from the first solar system, and they have this first ray soul, they hold for humanity, and they held for so long this link of the first ray of the Shambhala, the connection between humanity and Shambhala. And we now, the new group of world servants, we have to learn how to wield this first ray energy and to hold these coordinates that the Jewish people have been holding for us for good and for worse. Yeah. So we need to, as the new group of world servants, we have this double role now. On the one hand, we have to learn how to wield the first ray energy, to do it together with the Jews, and on the other hand, to make this step to open our heart
And in this heart, also with this heart, to embrace the solar plexus, to make this bridge between the solar plexus and the heart, to build this connection.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. There's a question here from Frida Kemp. She says, can you tell us more about your meditative practice?
Christine and I have been asking this one.
Yeah.
You mean the meditation we do in the group?
Yeah, I think so.
In the group, we do a meditation giving by decay to raise the energy from solar plexus to the heart. So. And I started purpose. So this is the meditation we do in our group.
Okay. You might have to repeat that, Christina. You just chopped out there for a second.
Repeat what I said?
Yes.
We use a meditation giving by DK. He has given to his group on Dyna 2. And we adopted the meditation for the planetary purpose. It's a meditation number one and number two. Heart center transference.
Okay. If anyone in the audience has a question, they can press the hand. There's a little icon with a hand, and we could hear from you. And in the meantime...
there was a question from Nancy. Maybe Nancy can...
I don't see it. I can't see her hand raised there. But
sorry.
Hey. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. I'm sorry I didn't raise my hand properly. I wanted to say to Uta, who I'm so happy, whose voice I'm so happy to hear after so many years.
Hello, Nancy.
Hello, Uta. I think that you touched on the core of the solution. To the so-called Jewish problem when you said that the solution will be found when the soul is perceived by the heart. And I think that's just a remarkable idea to hold in mind for this work. I'm wondering if you see any movement along these lines among the people you're working with, and if so, can you give us some illustrations?
Mm-hmm. What we can see here in Israel is that the younger generation is pretty fed up with the old forms here, and they are, let's say, the New Age movement here in Israel. They are craving for this love, for just letting go of this tough attitude to things, this power that is so prevalent. Yeah, we have to make a muscle. We have to show that we are strong. That's our only way to survive. So the young people they become more soft and more. They want more joy. They want more connection. They try out new ways to relate and not in these old thought forms. This is one thing. The other is on the seam line between the Jews and the Palestinians. When you are hard pressed to, when you go to these, there's so many peace activities where you meet each other and you have to jump over your own shadow, so to speak, in order to open. To the other, which is very painful, and you need a lot of courage. But when it happens, then a true heart opening is there, and the magic is happening, and people go away from there with something, with a change. You know, they cannot hold anymore. It's a discrepancy to this old pattern of you have to stay closed and strong. With defined borders, so nothing will happen to you. idea. And also in our classes, I can see when people, when there is enough love around, so you can let go of your defenses, and really look into yourself and ask yourself this question: what is it in me that is Jewish? And what is there anything in me that is not Jewish? And am I allowed at all? Is this is this kosher to at all think that something in me can be not Jewish? This is very frightening questions for people who have to hold on to their identity so strongly. So when this happens, there is a crack in the survival mechanism. Then the heart can open.
I think there's a interesting point that Uta made here about that reminds me of the cultural conditioning of all races. And the Tibetan tells us that Capricorn, which of course is the personality sign of the Jewish people, is the sign that represents the deepest degree of crystallization. And how that crystallization has to be broken up. The problem is because of this decrystallization and these old habits and rituals and thought forms that many people question and accept unquestioningly. And this is part of the problem, is to change that culture of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone else in the audience have any thoughts or questions they'd like to pose? I'm not sure. Well, Uta, I know you have some thoughts about the use of the great invocation in the adapted wording. Could you share some thoughts about that with us?
Mm-hmm. Alice Bailey has brought through, better to say, the Tibetan has worked through Alice Bailey into a Christian audience, mostly. So the language that has been chosen for the Bailey teachings has a Christian flavor. And that's you don't really realize it until you want to bring the Bailey teachings into a different culture. So we here in Israel, of course, we have a big problem bringing Alice Bailey teachings. And that's why I had to strip the Bailey teachings of any Christian language and in general of the mystical approach. And as I said, I changed the language into a psychological and neutral language, energy language, scientific language as much as possible. And with the great invocation, I have actually worked for 2 years, many years ago, with any group here in Israel that has any Bailey or theosophical background. I invited all of them to think together how to translate this into Hebrew. Every word and everything we went through, we did a huge process with it. And because you cannot say Christ for the Jewish people. In general, the Christ is seen as a symbol of these people that persecuted them. So it's really doing the opposite of what it should do. And so if you want to bring the great invocation and work with it in Israel, you have to really change it. And also to change it into the Messiah, may the Messiah come, which some groups work with, is also not so good, because the Messiah is immediately something very Jewish. Mm-hmm. So what we say now is, may love prevail on earth. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I see a question from Judy. Let's see. I'm trying to unmute. There we go. Hi, Judy. Do you have a comment or a question?
I just wanted to share something. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I just wanted to share that in the UK we have a continuing rather heated conversation at both governmental and popular levels about the theme of what multiculturalism is. And I think this is very important when you actually look at it from the inside out. And one of the proposals I have in this conversation that is constantly raised has had an impact is that nowadays, because we are quite a scientific people, we all know that basically human beings, we are all human beings, whatever race or culture we belong to. And because people know this, they're now accessible to the idea that we actually have a human potential. And very often in my talks, I talk about how when we meet people from a different race or a different culture, what is happening is that from isolation and developments because of isolation and environment, the different cultures actually arise with their particular characteristics. But if we look from the scientific view of human potential, then we can actually look at the fact that when we meet someone from a different culture or a different race, what they show us is actually an aspect of ourselves. So that when we actually look at the full range of races and cultures, when we meet them, what they give us is actually the full range of the human personality. And a lot of people have been excited about this idea and have begun to, therefore, instead of looking at people as just being different, that when they meet someone from a different culture or a different race, that they actually are now able to get in touch with something which they can be, because all these different races and cultures actually show us both the how glorious we can be and how terrible we can be, and we need to claim all of it. And I just think that this sort of creation of coming in from a different direction and being open to this influence by this recognition is actually quite important.
Thank you.
I'd just like to respond to that, what Judy said, in that we are going through such a remarkable, unique time in history. This confluence of all the races on the planet has never taken place before. This is the first time in esoteric history, let alone exoteric history, that this has occurred. Sure, we've visited each other and interacted with each other as races and nations for thousands of years, but we have never become one world like we are becoming now, where places like Britain, USA, Australia, and so forth are becoming a huge melting pot for the whole planet. Over 250 ethnic minorities, quite often, and this is the way it should be. This is the plan and purpose of the emerging six-week race that is coming, that we are moving from and into now, moving from the fifth-week race into the six-week race now. So it's quite unique, and people need to stand back and get that perspective sometimes, because Rome was not built in a day, as they say, and this synthesis will take hundreds of years to effect, but it's only really started in the last 50 or 100 years, really. So we're only in the very beginnings of this, and this is most appropriate as we move into the Aquarian Age, which is an age that will be characterized by human cooperation and community.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, we have time for one more, perhaps, closing thought from the group, with your hopes and wishes for your work and for the resolution of this issue.
Well, I have one.
Okay.
So I hope that that is shooting. Question?
Yes, we have a question. Here's Katya.
Hello. Hello, Mary Christina, Uda, Philip.
Hello, Katya.
Hi.
Just wanted to ask if you have any specific meditation in mind, or maybe you can create one for the Capricorn week, because you are working very closely with that energy.
Yeah.
So if you could come up with something for us to meditate extensively during the Capricorn week, that would be good, I think. I would, at least our group would absolutely appreciate that and will support you. And I'm sure the Russian group will, you know, participate, and at least some people, you know, will be glad, and the Life Bridge group absolutely will support that as well, I'm sure. So that's the question. I'm maybe it's not for now to answer, but, you know.
Well, that's a very good idea. I think we can discuss it, Philip and Maria Christina and I, and get back to you. Thanks for bringing
this up.
It's
entirely possible. So we'll get back to you on that one, Katya.
Yeah, great.
Thank you. Good to hear your voices.
You too.
Likewise. Maria Christina?
Was saying before.
Kathy said that we can have a wish. A wish that the Zotec student and the Zotec community realize the importance of their participation in the right way in the building of this light and short form, and in this process of absorbing and raising to bring redemption for attending the purpose of the planetary logos.
And I could add to that that there is a great inertia that exists even amongst esoteric students with this question, and even amongst Jewish esoteric students. They're probably in some ways the most difficult to move and contribute to this problem because they're so close to it. And the other thing that I would say is that a dogged persistence is really required for esoteric work in general, but particularly this work. And it's the same type of persistence that we bring to our daily meditation, of the discipline of daily meditation. Because at the end of the day, that's really where it's at in terms of of being able to really subjectively make a difference and create these changes that are needed to be working as a group or as groups in meditation, transforming these old thought forms on the mental plane.
I see here a question from Nancy. Maybe it seems that the examples Uta offered may be seeds of thought forms of solution. I wonder if the Methuselah Project might consider formulating thought forms of solution and distributing them to the larger networks of the new group of world servers. Yeah, I want to say about this, we have what I consider three aspects of our work. One is we have a forum, we have a Yahoo group forum, where we share our best thoughts and insights and information, and do our group process. You know, meet our own glamour, our own inner work about this glamour, and help each other see it and transform it. And then we have this meditative work, and then we have our website, on which we have gathered all kinds of information, and I think we are now at a turning point with this website. In my opinion, at least, this website for now is showing our fruits of gathering information, let's say the third aspect, work. And now we are just in the beginning of a process of bringing in the second aspect, work, more, and formulating our own fruits, not only sharing texts from others and other links of people who also work on this world problem, but concentrating more on our the fruits of our group experiment, thought forms of solution, little tidbits at least of thought forms of solution, and also our group experience. Using the right use of the will, or building thought forms, or harmlessness. What is true harmlessness? And so we are in the process of formulating this and putting it on the website.
Okay.
Christina, did you have something to add to that? Hello?
Sorry?
Did Christina have anything to add to that?
No.
Do you have anything to add?
No, I don't. because all the process of building short form, it's on the books. So we base our experience using the techniques given by the ageless teachings.
Okay,
one thing I'd just like to add, Kathy, just one more thing. What you just said was that basically our website at the moment is undergoing some... Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Basically, the website is undergoing some big changes, but they haven't manifested yet. So what people will find when they visit there is a reflection of what we've put down the last few years. And... the new changes are in gestation of the process of replacing and putting in many new additions to the site. It'll be a whole new different thing once it's emerged in the next 12 months or so, we hope. So it doesn't actually reflect where we're at the moment in some respects. Yeah. But it is still useful for students to go in and read some of the articles there. For instance, there was a transcript of my talk at a conference a couple of years ago that talks about humanity being Jewish people and so forth. Excuse me. The other thing I wanted to add was that the meditation work is primarily the second aspect work. But of course, as Uta said, there are all these other factors to do with really seeing what we call love in action, and so they all these things constitute this new phase that we're moving into, this second aspect phase, as we coin the term.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry we're going to have to close now with our meditation, and so I'll hand the floor over to you.
Okay. Well, the meditation we're going to do is a very simple one. And it's based on a meditation on our website. In fact, it is the meditation on our website, the public meditation. It's not the one that we use for our group. So I'd just like everyone to just relax and take a few breaths, get yourself comfortable, free yourself, your emotions and ideas and mind chatter from any latent antagonisms. From any preconceived ideas of right or wrong. Simply fall back upon the love of your soul, remembering that both Jews and non-Jews are souls as you are. quality of your love will count. Individual alignment. Let us sound the Om for each of the three personality vehicles. The physical body. Our emotional composure. And the quietening of the mental vehicle. Let us link up consciously with our souls, from personality to soul, and realize this linking as a fact. Seeing the light of the personality triangle, merging with the triangle of the soul, creating a six-pointed star of blazing light that stands above the crown chakra, turning and radiating in fourth-dimensional brilliance and luminescence. Let us now bring about an alignment through our ajna centers, the brow center, linking to one another, ajna to ajna. Bearing in mind, of course, that we are all linked as one heart and one mind also. And from this group ajna center, let us project a line of light upward to the center of all life. And focus within this group ajna center. Standing in this higher light, we stabilize the group field in preparation for the work to be done. We look outwards towards the two groups, the Jews and the non-Jews, visualizing them facing each other with a distance between them. Threads of light are linking them. As the group ajna center, we take our stand at the midway point between the center of all love and those two groups. We take our stand at the midway point from the center of all love and those two groups. Now, see a shaft of pure white light, broad and brilliant from above, pouring through the group ajna center, bisecting it into equal parts. One stream of living light and love going to the Jewish people, and the other to the non-Jewish people. And how we visualize as the two groups approaching each other, their light blending and making them one. And as we hold this image and the intention of unification, let us sound together the mantra of unification. The sons of men are one, and I am one with them. I seek to love, not hate. I seek to serve and not exact due service. I seek to heal, not hurt. Let pain bring due reward of light and love. Let the soul control the outer form and life and all events, and bring to light the love which underlies the happenings of the time. Let vision come and insight. Let the future stand revealed. Let inner union demonstrate, and outer cleavages be gone. Let love prevail. Let all men love. Let us now close the meditation by standing together the great invocation, visualizing light, love, and power infusing the part. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center, where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center, which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Light and love and power restore the plan on earth.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Don Uta and Maria Cristina.
Thank you.
For sharing your work with us. We appreciate your efforts. And just to make an announcement, that there will be another Scorpio New Moon webinar tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If anyone's not registered and would like to, please let us know. Thank you. Thank you all very
much. Thank you, Kathy. Yeah. Thank you for providing these 2012 initiative webinars.
Yeah.
Right. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Нет, наверное, не получится.
Thank you.
Okay. Kathy, may I have a word, Kathy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I just want to say, on the screen, you now
see 2012 initiative email address and Facebook page and the Google group, and you can find the recording of the previous meetings, and by the end of the day or tomorrow morning, you'll have a recording of this meeting on our Facebook page, 2012 Initiative, or at our Google Groups forum, 2012 Initiative. And if you have any questions, you can contact us via Facebook or email or Google Group. And our next meetings will be and the coming full moon. We will have a meeting with the Seed Group International, represented by Davina Cox, interviewed by Belinda Bird from New Zealand. And the new moon in Sagittarius, we will have interview with the founder and the president of the National Peace Academy, Dart Mager. And during the festival week, for all 8 days, we will have 2 webinars a day, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, like this one, and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You will have announcements about those meetings soon. So we invite you to join all those meetings, and we strongly encourage you to organize meetings with your groups. And as it is going to be Christmas week, maybe with your families. Thank you very much.
And
I have three minutes before the end, so maybe someone wants to have a ending remarks.
Well, there was a chat message that from Risa and Alexis, and I'd like to read that about the energies falling to Earth. The new group of world servers may be assisted right now with Saturn in Scorpio, the sign of discipleship. This position of Saturn may help with reorientation of energies of the personality to the soul. The next 2.5 years may be a window of opportunity to aid the new group of world servers to help overcome the Scorpio mental test of separativeness and to triumph over the dweller, the mental test of separativeness. Thank you.